If we were to take the Christian life and put it on a diagram and even on a timeline, it would look a lot like what you see on the screen now, with the letters BC, AD, and AC. You see, we go through life and God reaches out and He speaks to us. These are our before Christ days, before we make decisions to follow Him. And then somewhere along the way, God willing, we say yes. We're ready to join the AD part of life. Anno Domini in Latin means in the year of our Lord. And that's where we're living now if we are followers of Christ. We're seeking to grow. That needs to be a part of our lives. And that's what we'll be talking about a lot here today. And then one day, the AC part will arrive. The age to come. When we check out of this planet, or when Jesus Christ comes back in His return. And another way to look at the AC is to call it all about Christ. And during that time, the AC time, there's going to be incredible joy, indescribable joy. But what's exciting about Christianity is that you don't have to wait until the AC timeline part to have joy. You can have joy today. And that's what this message series is all about in the book of Philippians. How to have lasting joy, to experience that in an ongoing basis. And today, if we're growing spiritually, if we're moving forward, moving ahead, we are going to experience joy. If you're not experiencing it right now, it might be because you're stagnant spiritually, not really moving ahead like God intends for each of us to do. Because when we do grow, it brings joy. Here's a brief summary of today's message. In just a few lines, this is what we want to seek to accomplish in these very rich two verses in Philippians 2. The Christian life includes both the unparalleled, unspeakable, unbelievable power of God that He gives us so that we can grow and experience His presence here today. But in addition to that power that He gives us, we need to add to it our choices, our decisions, as well as our efforts to grow. If we're going to grow, we need to be committed to growth. His power plus our choices and efforts, that's a great partnership. What's it going to lead to? It's going to lead to spiritual growth. And when we're having that happen, we are going to experience His joy as well. So I want to ask you today, are you motivated to keep growing? No matter how many years you may have followed Christ, are you ready for a new chapter of growth? You don't want stagnation. You want to move ahead. I want to invite you all to jump in and be all in on this journey, because the journey of spiritual growth in Christ is the best journey in the universe. And I'd love for you all to experience that. So where's the motivation? The motivation for that life begins with Jesus Christ. We have the most awesome model to follow. Jesus did come to die for us, but He also came to model life, to show us what real, meaningful life is all about. And we have Him as our model, the most awesome model. And notice, we capitalize model with M, because it is speaking about Jesus. I know you look at the first part of verse 12 and say, what in the world does therefore have to do with Jesus? Well, what's the purpose of therefore? It's a bridge. It's a reminder. It's a transitional word that should lead us back to the verses prior to what we start reading in verse 12. We need to find out what therefore is there for. What is it there for? To point us back these verses we looked at last week in Philippians 2. Let's be reminded again of how awesome Jesus is. Listen to these words. Who, speaking of Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, by choice, he became one of us here on this planet. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The next word after that is therefore. We look back to this. As we follow Christ, as we yield to Him, and as we seek to grow, we are going to become more like Christ. Talk about a life of joy. How does it get any better than that? Have you ever thought about all the things Jesus did? You ever just kind of let those mull through your mind? I did something on Monday night I don't think I've ever done with a message. It was 9:30. I was at home. I was thinking about this passage, getting close to my bedtime. And I said, I'm just going to flip through the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm just going to jot down a few of the things that I see that Jesus did. And I don't ever remember doing that before. I made that list, and when I came up with it, I wanted to share them with you. And I know it's hard to jot all those down quickly, so what we've done today is we've just put them on the other side of your outline. Just look at this partial list of some of the things that Jesus did and see about working them into your life as a follower of Jesus. Inspirational teaching, consistent throughout the Gospel of Matthew. Amazing, life-relevant teaching for all of us. He says no to temptation, and as we follow Him and claim His power, we also can have the power to say no to those things that we need to walk away from. That's what happens when we follow Jesus. He's baptized. Think about that. He didn't have to be baptized. Why did He do that? He did that as an example for us, so that when we choose to follow Him, we will follow His example of baptism. And folks, to ignore that is to sin. If you choose not to be baptized as a follower of Christ, you are ignoring His command, and it is a sin. It's not just a choice. And it will keep you from walking closer to Christ. If that's not a step you've taken, consider the biblical plan there. He develops disciples. And what's so exciting about that group is they're just a modern-day ragtag group. He didn't pick the primary people of His culture to disciple. As I look at their lives, they're broken like me. And that gives me hope that maybe I could even become a disciple if they could. He even takes care of nature. Remember Him calming the storm? Just reminded me this week seeing one of our guys, one of our volunteers, coming up here and mowing the grass around the church building. Didn't it look beautiful coming in today? Just little things to take care of the amazing nature that God has given us. During His time here, He looks out for His mother. That's something all of us need to do, to take care of our moms, our dads, our grandparents. He grieves with the hurting. If you're one of those today, He wants to identify with you. He came here and went through pain, and He chose to do it, and He wants to take care of those who are hurting today. He feeds the hungry. Yes, we need to follow that example. He prioritizes children. Think about that. Anytime you love on kids, you're following the example of Jesus. And then He chooses to forgive those who hurt Him. We need to do the same. It goes on. He encourages a giving woman. Whenever we see people do positive things, we need to back them up. We need to give them a high five, pat them on the back, encourage them. He shows grace to those who hurt Him. He asked for them to be forgiven when they were killing Him. He prays constantly. He hangs out with the unreached on a regular basis. What a list, huh? We get a brief but a very powerful picture in this list of what Jesus had in mind when he said, "I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly." This is the abundant life. Living this life will bring you purpose and joy. I highly recommend following Jesus' example. When I look over this list, there's a line from a song that came to my mind called "Live Like That" by Sidewalk Prophets. How do you like these words? "I want to live like that." Do you? I really do. Give it all I have. It's going to take our efforts, folks, as we talk about this message today, so that everything I say and do points to you, points to Jesus Christ. Great question in this song that you'll hear later. When they see me, do they see you? Speaking about Christ. Yes, we can grow. Why? We have a great model. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. Another motivation for growth is that we will be blessed by some what I call, in spite of, loyal friendships. Kind of a strange combination of words, isn't it? In spite of loyal friendships. When Paul speaks about the Philippians, he calls them my dear friends. Now, when you understand the context, this is a strong statement, because some of those Philippians didn't exactly get along with each other. We're going to study about a couple of those ladies named Euodia and Syntyche in a future message. They weren't getting along. Some of them are obviously struggling with pride, because throughout the book, Paul emphasizes the importance of humility. So it's not like these guys get along naturally. But instead of focusing on the differences and the challenges, Paul chooses to look beyond that. He chooses loyal friendship. He says, "My beloved friends, my dear friends." Folks, that's what the church should look like. And when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about people on a roll. I'm talking about followers of Christ. Should look beyond differences. Find that which brings them together in unity, and then focuses on serving together for the glory of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you're going to be a blessing to others. You're going to be a picture of the gospel to others who are wondering what Christianity is all about. And then together, as we serve, we can be a blessing to the community, to our nation, and to the whole world. We can grow together. God has designed the Christian life so that when we follow and live out the teachings of Jesus, we will experience blessings. Obedience brings blessings. That's why I'm encouraging you to keep growing, because when you do, and as you do, you will grow. Look at the last part of verse 12. "As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence." I want you to think about this. This is really a great compliment to the Philippians. Why? Because Paul has left them. He's their spiritual leader. So how do they react? They grow more. They are more obedient when Paul is gone. Think about that. Their focus is not on Paul. It's on Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to remind you that even great people leaders are going to let you down along the way. Do not place your faith in any people, because all of us fail. Instead, put your loyalty and love and focus on Jesus Christ. Why? He will never let you down. He will never walk away from you. He will always be there for you. I find it very interesting. Sometimes I'll hear people talking about where they worship, and they'll say, "I go to so-and-so's church." And they name the pastor. I don't like hearing that. Every church should be Christ's church. It's not any human being's church. Let's focus on Jesus Christ. Let's place our loyalty in Him and not any other person. And by the way, the way the Philippians lived is really a great model. I want to recommend it. One of the greatest indicators of genuine Christianity is how we live when no one is watching us. It could be said this way: what matters is who you are when no one is looking. So what do you read when no one else is around to see it? What movies and TV shows do you choose to watch when you're by yourself? When you're on your iPad, you're on your computer, where are you going? And what are you looking at when you're by yourself? Let me remind you of the obedience growth cycle. I want to show you this in the form of a diagram. Obedience leads to spiritual growth, to spiritual health, as well as great blessings. Here is the diagram of the faithful follower of Christ. Right in the center of that, where you see the arrows in the form of a cross, represents the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we choose to follow Jesus as both our Savior, our Redeemer, as well as our leader in life, this is where it all begins. And then everything else branches out from there. Imagine this being like a clock. Move up to the top of the clock, and you'll see one form of growth that we call evangelism, growing more. This is the Acts 2 model of healthy growth. Then when people become followers of Christ, it's time to move to 3 o'clock on the clock. And that is where discipleship takes place. How are you doing in the Word now? Is the Bible a regular, consistent part of your lives? How are you doing in your life of prayer? Are you spending time with others in groups, growing? These are discipleship issues. And then we can move down to 6 o'clock where it says service, to grow and to serve. I wish you could have seen what I was able to observe Friday night, because we had an awesome team come together to help out with concessions at the North Cobb football game. And I mean, they were working hard. And do you know what I saw as they served? And it wasn't easy work. I mean, trying to make sure they're giving over everything they need to people asking for the right food, making sure the change is correct, grilling hamburgers and hot dogs. Here's what I saw. I saw joy. I saw fulfillment. I even had one of my friends say that it was the highlight of his week to be able to be there and to do that. If you have not found the secret of Christian service yet, I want to recommend that you jump in, because that's where real meaning is going to happen. And then it moves up to the next level at 9 o'clock on the growth cycle, and that is missions. That's reaching out beyond our world, both across the street, out into the rest of the community, around the country, and also around the world. We need to evaluate our lives with each one of these categories today. And as we move to that focus of missions, it gives me a joy today to introduce a family who's here with us, the Meyer family, Chris and Lindsay. Lindsay, go ahead and stand up a minute. Are you going to come up or hang out there? You can do either. You don't mind being seen with Chris? Let me get this turned on. I want to tell you a little bit about the Meyer family. Their kids are here today, too. They have a first grader named Julia, a 15-month-old named Eli. They're hanging out with the kids there today. And along the way, this was in our former assignment in Indiana where we were serving. Chris and Lindsay were part of our fellowship there. And along the way, God began to call them to missions. And they asked if they could come and just share a little bit of their story here. God's calling them to go to Indonesia. So why don't you join me in welcoming Chris and Lindsay to Summit here today. Glad you're here, man.
Good morning. We just been so glad to come. It's been good to hear the teaching again. Missed Scott and Chris a lot. So, but thank you for having us here and supporting us in what we're doing. I want to share a little bit about what we're going to do and a little bit how we got there. For us, this is our family. We're pioneers. It's a mission sending organization. Has a couple thousand missionaries worldwide. We'll be working at a school in Indonesia. It's a Christian school for Indonesians, but not all students there are Christian. Since it's the top school in the area, one of the top, the Muslims will send their children there too as well. So this is a school that's pretty diverse, but it's Indonesians, and our daughter will be going to school there at that place. These are we'll be working there with. These are some of the students that are there. So we'll be working with students in the school. We'll also be supporting the teachers in the classroom as well. We'll be coming in not necessarily as a classroom teacher, but as support for those teachers. We'll also be working with musicians in the community, and using that as an outreach opportunity as well, using music education to reach people in the community. We'll also be working with a teacher training program to help train Christians to become Christian teachers and go out to areas that are unreached, so training Indonesians to go and reach Indonesians. I'll tell you about what we're going to be doing first, because to us, this is where our background is. Lindsay taught music for 8 years, and I taught band for 10 years. And we first came to Graceland, the church, our home church, where Pastor Scott was pastor at the time. And when we came there, we saw this quote. It says, we both noticed a blurb about an upcoming short-term trip to Indonesia, and it said, teachers needed. And this is really how we got started. This is how our journey started. We're believers, and we were really into our careers, and we were seeking Christ, but also seeking, you know, how far we can get in our careers and building up our programs and music. But we saw opportunity to go, and so we went. So in 2011, we went on a mission trip with the church, and we got to work with teachers, do professional development, and got to see Indonesia. When we were there, a couple who were really close to us said, "Have you taken perspectives?" And from what I've heard, that course is available in the area, and it's soon. And I encourage you to take this course. It's a course on world evangelism, and we're not seminary background, we're not seminary trained, and it gave us a lot of knowledge of how of what's going on around the world. So I really encourage you to take that. But in there, we realize that God is calling all believers to go and share the gospel with people in your community, internationals that are coming here, and with people around the world. So we went back in 2012, and we got to work with students and teachers. And in that experience, we saw that this is a place that God is calling us to, and that we are to serve, and we are to use our backgrounds in a way to reach people with the gospel. So at that point, we decided we were to do it. We're all in. And since 2012, we've been seeking what God wants us to do to get to Indonesia. That includes raising support. That also included some Bible coursework, of course, to be equipped for ministry. So the other reason why Indonesia, Indonesia is the fourth largest country behind us, 250 million people, and over 200 million of them are following Islam. I had the opportunity to go back to Indonesia last month, and just reminded of the lostness of the unreached in Indonesia. Statistically, 43% of Indonesians are under 25, so those are millennials. Those are school-age, college-age students. That's where our heart is to serve. So those are students that that we can reach through our backgrounds in education. On that trip, I just want to share with you on that trip that I'll have opportunities to share with students. And it wasn't in the classroom setting that we were able to share the gospel, but in just the everyday life, having food with them, walking to the classes. When we did an English camp, it was just just those times that we got to share the gospel in our relationships that we developed. And that's the same I encourage you to do here with people that you meet. So I want to encourage you that for us, we had written off missions because we didn't initially start out at seminary, or we didn't feel equipped. But I want to encourage you that God's just taken two ordinary teachers and given an opportunity to go move to a new place and to share the gospel. And I'd like to share more with you after the service. You're available, and please just pray for us as we're going through this process.
Thank you. Well, One of the things they shared in their small group this morning was a neat story at the end of their time of training with the English camp. There was one young lady that just seemed to have a lot of interest in Christianity, and just in some of their side conversations, they were able to speak to her, share the gospel, and she made her commitment to follow Christ as a Muslim, left Islam, and did that. So just exciting about the opportunity that's ahead of the Myers. Proud of you guys for answering God's call. And they'll be hanging out in the lobby afterwards. If you have a couple of minutes to just come by, you can kind of see what's going on. If you want to be a part of their prayer team, stay in touch with them, ask some questions, they'll be available for you. And I'm thankful they have chosen to be obedient to God's call, because that's what God's inviting all of us to do here today, to be obedient, to grow, to stay on that path. Because again, the focus is this: spiritual growth never ends. It needs to be an ongoing goal for every one of us. Look at what Paul says at the end of verse 12. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it's so easy to look at that and misunderstand the meaning there, to misinterpret this verse. This does not say that we can earn our salvation by good works and good deeds. That's not what he's saying. I read a funny story this week about a guy who passed away. This is an untrue story, just a something made up. And it said he went to the gates of heaven, and if he went there, who is he going to meet, right? Do you remember who meets him? Peter. Peter's always the guy. I wonder why there's nobody else there to help out. It seems to always be Peter. So this guy saw Peter, and he said, "Hey, what do I have to do to get into heaven?" And Peter said, "It takes 1,000 spiritual points to get to heaven." So he said, "Okay," and he jumped right in. He said, "I went to church every Sunday. I also went on Wednesday nights. I read my Bible every single day. I shared the gospel a lot. I gave 10% of my income to the church. I sang in the choir. I cooked meals for senior adults. I volunteered in the nursery. I taught a middle high school class." He went on for 2 hours sharing all the good deeds he had done. And finally, when he finished, Peter looked at him and said, "That is very impressive. You get one spiritual point." Can you imagine hearing that from Peter? The man was shocked. He said, "You mean I only get one spiritual point for all that time and energy and money that I'm invested? I have only one point, and it takes 1,000 to get to heaven? Lord, have mercy." Peter said, "You got it. That's the key. Now you have 1,001 points. Come on in. Come on in." That's the magnificent story of Christianity. It's about the mercy of God. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It clearly emphasizes salvation by the grace of God. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You see, God always takes the initiative in salvation. He reaches out to us to speak to us. Look at John 6, 44. Jesus is speaking. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up the last day." So how does Jesus draw us? How does the Father speak to us? He can speak in so many different ways. Just look at this short list. Through creation, the beauty and the majesty of what He's made. Through our conscience, He will speak to us through our thoughts. He has set eternity in the hearts of every single human being. If we'll just be honest and listen, God will remind us of that. He'll speak through the lives of other Christians, through their testimonies, their changed lives, through circumstances, sometimes even tough ones, to remind us that we need to look to Him, ultimately through His Word. And then we need to respond to His call. As He speaks to us, Acts 16:31 shows us our step. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Now look at this next phrase: "You and your household." Hey, catch the vision for what could happen in your family if you became a follower of Christ and then kept growing. You weren't satisfied with the status quo spiritually. You're ready to keep forging ahead, keep moving ahead. Along the way, your family and friends could be introduced to Christ, and their lives could be forever changed. Or you could be that leader there that shows them the importance of growing in Christ. What does this phrase mean? To work out your salvation? It means you don't just sit back spiritually passive and let life just come your way. You have a goal. It's with intentionality that you move forward. That growth is an ongoing priority that never ends, no matter how long you have followed Christ. Man, we work hard at a lot of things in our culture, don't we? We work hard at our jobs. We work hard in our education. We work hard in our sports and hobbies. We work hard in our family lives. Hey, how much effort are you putting in right now in your spiritual growth priority? Is that at the forefront of your life? In that verse that we read, it uses the words fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that you need to be afraid of God. That's a reference to a deep and holy respect for God. You don't have to be afraid of Him, but it should drive you to your knees in humility because we serve an awesome, mighty God. In Psalm 34, verses 7 and following, we see a description of this type of appropriate fear. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people. Respect Him, honor Him, worship Him. For those who fear Him lack nothing. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this message, there's some more good news about spiritual growth. God is the energizer. We just have to be willing. He'll take us and grow us. He is our power source. Let Him be yours. We read in verse 13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." That Greek word for works is the word energeo. We get our word energy or energize from that. God is the energy source. He is our energizer. Years ago, Mark Twain made an interesting quote. Look at what he said. This might surprise you. "Few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example." Why does he say that? You know why? He's just being transparent. Sometimes we look at somebody else and we're overwhelmed at what a quality of person that individual is. We say, "I could never be like her. I could never be like him. I could never measure up." That's so true when we look at the life of Christ, or when we look at Christ in the lives of others. What's the difference? We need more than just a good example. We need the power of God. We need the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to help us grow. Our part, say yes, be willing to grow. God's part, to be the energizer, to give us what we need, the power to move ahead. Jesus reminds us of that in John 15, verse 5. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." You will grow. You'll move forward. Notice what he says at the end of that verse. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Your part, say yes. Take the step. God's part, to give you the power to walk and to run without growing weary, without falling. Ephesians 2:10 describes the plan of God. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to keep growing? I hope you're not satisfied with where you are. I hope you're not overwhelmed by where you should be. Don't let that drag you down. Instead, say, I'm ready to grow, and I'm ready to keep growing. And when you do that, you will experience His joy. What do we have? The best model ever, Jesus Christ. What do we have? His promised power, the supernatural power of Christianity. Give Him your best. And when you do that, you will experience indescribable joy for life. I want that for all of you. Father, thank You for this time that we could gather together, that we could look into Your Word, that we could see Your plan for our growth. And I just pray now, Lord, that You'll be leading us to think about what we need to do. Maybe there are some here who need to make commitments to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe there are some here, Father, who need to connect with a group, a small group, or even a faith family, a new church home, where they can grow and be loved and encouraged. And God, I pray for all of us that we won't be thinking this way about church. What can I get out of it? But Lord, would You lead us all to be thinking about how we can contribute, how we can give to the cause and the body of Christ? Show us our part, Father. Show us how to serve. Father, I pray that You'll help us all to be healthy, growing believers. And right now, as we ask You for that to be answered, would You show us what needs some focus today? Is it an area of discipleship? Is it evangelism? Are we just relaxing and not serving? Are we not involved in missions in any way? Lord, show us how to follow You as Savior and Lord. And God, as we look at this whole package, it can seem overwhelming. And that's why we want to lean on You. We want to recognize You as our power source. And we want to ask You to fill us with Your Spirit and to help us be strong Christ followers. So God, in this time, speak to us as we prepare for our response. And as we do that, God, it's a joy to pray for the Meyer family. We just pray that You'll provide Your resources for them and that the timing of Your call in their life would come to fruition and that You would give them joy as they are obedient in that call. So speak to all of us, Lord. We're here to listen to You and to live like that, as we're going to hear in our response song. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with us.